Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hi, Herbie. Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
What I think is really interesting, I think this is a shrewd play by the owners. I really do, because they're tapping into something that is prevalent in American society today. The idea of tax the rich. That's what they're tapping into. They're saying that the wealthiest players should pay more. What does that sound like? You know what that sounds like? That sounds like they took advice from Elizabeth Warren. That the owners were like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. We should structure this so that the wealthiest people pay the most so that it helps the common good. Huh. Now, if you looked at some of the voting records of the people who own baseball, they would tell you that that's not something that they believe in overall. But when it comes to their own sport, they are all for it for this year.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
As the GIF says, it's true. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a lot of stuff to do. Charlie Rumeliotis from NBC Sports Chicago is going to join me at 12:40. We'll talk about hockey getting itself back. I'm excited to talk with Charlie because I know that Charlie is fired up about hockey returning. We'll talk a little bit about what this means and what steps need to be taken between now and hopefully the start of the NHL season so that an NHL season starts. Hannah Kaiser covers baseball for Yahoo. She wrote a piece yesterday that was similar to what I was talking about as far as how now all of a sudden the owners of baseball are down with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. The rich should pay more. They should pay more to help out the less fortunate. Oh my God, this is so much fun. So I'm going to be a lot more expressive today. And the reason that I'm going to be a lot more expressive is because I don't have any internet at home. So I called Mitch and I said, I need to go do the show from the studio. And he's like, okay, just make sure you follow protocol, wear a mask, wear gloves, all that good stuff. Clean the studio because no one's been in there forever. I was like, okay. So now I can do more screaming. In my basement, I can't do the screaming because the microphone is like super close to my mouth. But here, I can stand away from the microphone and scream. So yes, now all of a sudden, these owners are down with the Bernie Sanders plan. But the genius of it is we're going to make them look like the rich people. We're going to make the rich ball players look like the rich people. And then we're going to be Robin Hood. Yes, take the money from the rich and give it to the poor. That's the model that we should use. That's the model that baseball should have. Well, wait, what about your money? No. Not my money. We're not talking. Don't look over here. I've got some keys. Here's some shiny keys. Look over at the shiny keys. Don't look over at my pile of money that's hundreds of times larger than the players. Don't look at that. Keep the focus where it belongs. These greedy ass players. I love the idea of Tom Ricketts as Robin Hood. Like, that's, like, great. Baseball owners as Robin Hood. We're in it for the people. It's going to be so interesting to see how all of this stuff plays out. And how they, and the owner, I mean, the players have now been like, yeah, we're good. We're not going to really even respond to this nonsense. Is what I kind of thought they would end up doing. And then Max Scherzer said, nah, fam, we already agreed. We agreed to take a pay cut. And it was funny because I was watching the text line yesterday when we were talking a little bit about that. And the text zone, oh, by the way, that's a new thing. You can text us with the same number that you would call us at. So 312-644-6767 is the number that you can both call and text us at. And the Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time and shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Someone texted yesterday, and when I explain that the pay cut that baseball wants the players to take is in addition to the prorated cut that they're already taking, someone was like, that can't be right. No, it's right. The players agreed that we'll prorate. Look, we didn't play these games. We're not going to play 162 games. So pay us per game, however many games we play. The owners were like, cool. That happened back in March. And now the owners are like, okay, so beyond that, since there are no people coming into the ballpark, yada, 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 we don't have any money. So we need you to take a break. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a sliding scale of salary. Oh, okay. So the scale of salary, well, what's that going to look like? Well, for a guy like Mike Trout or Max Scherzer, they're now going to be making about 20% of what they were originally walking into the season having contractually agreed upon. They're going to get 20%. It is better for people who make less money. They'll get more of their check. More of the prorated check. But at some point, some of those guys are going to be like, you know what? I'm good. You can go ahead and play, and I hope the other guys have an opportunity to play. I'm not going to play. Because now we are talking about genuine risk-reward type stuff. So if you're Mike Trout, you're getting 20% of your salary. You know that when things normalize, and I'm using air quotes, that you're going to get your close to $400 million that you have left on the deal when you come back. You got a new baby on the way. You've probably got a stockpile of millions of dollars in the bank already. What would you do? Would you go and play? Because I don't know that I would. Like, on top of everything else, you're going to cut me all the way down to 20%. I'm the best baseball player ever. So, no, I'm not doing that.
To play the same game. It's like nothing different. They're paying him 20% pre-tax to play the same game. I'm like, no, I'm good, son. Thank you, though. I appreciate it. I don't know if it counts against his year, like, if this year just is absolved and they say, okay, next year is what 2020 would have been, it gets moved to 2021. Because for Mike Trout and the Angels, that length of deal and the money was the thing.
Right. They're married to this. So we'll see. One of the things that is a little bit underreported is it wasn't just the money. Like, if you remember, Bill Shakin and I had a conversation a couple days ago, and I was talking to him about the safety protocols and the money and the contracts of it. Like, how those things work in tandem and how right now they're kind of working separately. Major League Baseball week and a half ago put together a 67-page safety protocol, and there's stuff in there like players can't shower, for example, after games. And I understand the idea behind it. You don't want to put together a place where there's going to be a lot of germs. Like, you can't spit. You can't do all the other stuff. It's a lot of pages. Spiegs went through it and his eyes glazed over. I made it through about half and I was like, wow, this is extensive. And I'm appreciative of Major League Baseball being extensive in their safety protocol to try and make it so that it's safe for the players as possible. But there's got to be some negotiation there. I personally believe that the safety protocol thing that they put in place was more for the government and government officials than it was necessarily the players. Like, in my mind, I see it playing out like not being adjudicated. Like, you spit? That's going to be $500 for you, Jason Hayward.
I mean, doesn't Chicago have a no smokeless tobacco
yes.
policy? And every single day, I see Jose Abreu at Guarantee Rate with a nice dip in his mouth.
Of course you do.
And not spitting. These guys have been doing this forever.
Yes, and they will continue to do it. So there's now a couple of different things that have to go on inside the negotiation. The weird part is that I actually wasn't even planning on talking about this to start the show, but it is the news of the day. I just think that it's interesting knowing a big portion of the political views that owners of teams have, not everyone, but most of them, to see them get down with feeling the burn. Let's go. I would love, you know what I pay money to see? This is so great because now I actually have an audience to play to instead of just looking at the wall. How about Tom Ricketts? Can someone please, please, please do this for me because my Photoshop skills are not very good. Can someone please Photoshop Tom Ricketts in a Feel the Burn t-shirt? Or standing next to Bernie Sanders. Or Elizabeth Warren, either one of them, because they're both about tax the rich. Bernie's a little bit more strident about it than Elizabeth Warren, but this is the plan that they're on. I love it. I love it.
Or you could just find a part where Ted Cruz happened to be in a Feel the Burn shirt. That's the same thing. They look exactly alike.
Oh, yeah, they do. Someone sent it to me a while ago. You know, Tom Ricketts and Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz! You get that picture, if you, like, flip their heads, if you take Ted Cruz's head and put it on Tom Ricketts, it's the same. I will say this. I think Tom has a more pleasant face, like, overall. Like, he doesn't look as evil as Ted Cruz does. I kind of like Ted Cruz with the beard, though. I like that. Although I'm sure he's probably just hiding out from the government because of his involvement in the Kennedy assassination.
Well, that's his dad.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot all about that. Some people are texting into the text zone. 219 text says, can't spit. Duh bleep. Because I can't say the word that you texted. What's next? Can't grab your crotch? I believe they still can. I don't think that that's... I mean... Can we talk about we family, as Bernie Mac would say? We family, right? Baseball's disgusting. It really is. The only thing that I think is on the same par, actually, it's more disgusting. Hockey dressing rooms after a practice. But baseball itself, the sport itself, is disgusting. There's guys with dip. There are guys that are spitting. There are guys that are grabbing stuff. There's a lot of literal grab ass that goes on inside of baseball clubhouses. There's all sorts of stuff. You've heard the stories. You've heard Ryan Dempster and AJ Pierzynski and everyone else tell the stories about the time that they put tape on somebody's ass and then ripped the tape off. I'm making that up, but you understand what I'm saying. Greg Maddux was notorious for tooting in your face if you got close enough. It guys can be disgusted. Trying to clean it up in the middle of a pandemic is going to be a thing. It's absolutely going to be a thing.
The one thing we're discussing back here is why would they have the players, after congregating with their teammates, playing a game, getting dirty, go home in that dirty ass uniform and expose those germs to their family. And wouldn't it be more prudent to
yes.
shower up, take the clothes off, launder them there at the facility, and then go home with a fresh pair of clothes that you came from your house?
It would seem to make sense, but look, if they're going to err on the side of being overly cautious, I'm okay with that. I just wanted to present that there were a lot of things that were happening here that I find interesting and strange. But it's great. It shows you how desperate times will allow for political morals to align, especially when there's cash involved. Wait, someone's trying to take my cash? No! The players can't have my cash. They're the rich. You boo this man. Boo this man. You have way more money than him. No, I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Then why doesn't Mike Trout own a team? I don't know. Maybe he didn't invest his money and save it properly. And that's another thing. Isn't the ownership crew, aren't they the crew of people that are always talking about bootstrapping? Aren't they the crew that's telling you about having emergency funds available? Isn't it amazing how when it comes to ownership in sports, we're seeing that it doesn't matter how much money you make, there are a lot of people that are living check to check. Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Rockets, has his money in restaurants and oil and the Rockets. None of those three things are great things to be an investor in now. Yet, he's like, please, we have got to play basketball. We got to! And these are the same folks that'll tell you, well, you know, sure, everyone in America, for the most part, is one medical emergency away from bankruptcy. Why didn't you save your money? I got a question. Why didn't you save your money? You've seen revenue go up exponentially for damn near 30 years in Major League Baseball. You know, remember that last work stoppage that you had? The lockout, because it wasn't a strike. The lockout that you had back then, you know, the one that cost the South Side a World Series? Let's go, White Sox! You remember that? Why didn't you save your money? We were listening to Susie Orman. We got our 3-month emergency fund going right now. MLB owners like, we never thought that we could be overstretched and overleveraged because the money just kept coming in. That's on you. That's on you, fam. And now you're like, we need to take a look at the way that these finances seem to work. I don't seem to have as much liquidity as I was hoping I would have. Whose fault is that? Barons of personal responsibility? You overextended yourselves. You're a college kid using a credit card to pay for pizza. And now the bill came, and you're like, you know who I'm going to make pay for that pizza? The delivery driver.
One thing I don't get, and I know his books are probably say something different. How would you put your fortune and your business in the hands of somebody else? So the Cubs say that 70% of their revenue comes from fans parking, which is weird because I don't know anybody who parks at Wrigley Field.
I mean, they do have a night, like their parking structure is nice that they have, but come on. Everyone who's been to a game at Wrigley understands that their parking capacity compared to almost everybody in the league is minuscule.
Yeah, so it's parking concessions and people in the seats. So, like, how would you put most of your freaking business into
the hands of... You almost said a bad word.
Into the hands of other people, because I know the man's lying. Open your books up and show me this.
Ah, Herbie, now we have hit onto the very important part of this. The part that the owners are going to keep from you and are trying to keep from the players. Here's the thing. Baseball players don't know how much revenue the owners actually generate. I'll use this analogy that I've been using for the last few weeks. You and I go rob a bank. We make it out. Is that Pete Zakarin? We rob the bank. After we rob the bank, I say to you, hey, partner, great job getting us into that vault. You were unbelievable. I know that I was only in the car, but you did a great job robbing the bank. So we're going to split the money up 50-50. Here's the thing, though. I'm going to count the money in this room by myself, and then I'm going to give you your cut. 50-50, right down the middle. I know that you like this show. You listen every day, noon to two. You've known me for the 22 years that I've been here at the Score. As much as you like me, as much as you like the show, if I offered you this deal, you would be like, bleep you, Lawrence. You are not going to go into that room by yourself and count up the money and give me my 50%. Show me all the money. Why can't you count it in front of me? Because only I can count it. Because it was my idea. So you're going to take this 50% that I count out for you. And don't worry about that extra stash that I have on the side. That's from something totally different. It's a different pile of money. Wait, isn't that the money we stole from the bank? No. Not at all. We didn't steal that money from the bank. That bank was in a different pile. I swear I saw those bills were marked. Yeah, I marked them. Because they're mine. We're splitting up this pile right here. That's the story that they need to get out. This texter says, Lawrence, you're missing the point. There's a large difference between personal wealth and business wealth. Yeah. You want me to side with the stewards of bad business? Of guys that thought that the profits were just going to go up and up and up? You want me to understand that owners take risk financially? This is the risk. And if I'm weighing your financial risk as a business owner versus my risk personally, with something that we're still dealing with, I don't feel like I'm going to cut you a break. Bomani Jones said this a couple days ago, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. There's a bunch of baseball fans that don't remember what it was like. Don't remember what these negotiations used to be. And you are about to get a refresher course. Because the MLBPA is one of the strongest unions in America. And they have already told you, we're not down for this at all. Max Scherzer stepping up, being one of the highest paid players in the game, putting his name on it and saying, we're not having this bleep. Settle in, folks. It might be a while before we get baseball back. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to two on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
What did Snail say on his stream earlier, do you know?
That he said it's not worth it to play with pay cuts and that he, like, you guys are risking your lives getting, like, obviously getting COVID.
Yeah, I love Snail. That's my guy, bro.
He said if someone gets it, they got to live with that for the rest of their lives.
He ain't lying. He's right.
He's like, give me my money or I'm not playing.
Hey, bro, he's speaking the truth, bro. I ain't mad at him. Somebody's got to say it. At least he manned up and said it. Good for him. I love Snow, man. He has a beast, too. One of the best lefties in the game, bro.
That is Bryce Harper on Twitch. If I could offer the players a little bit of advice. I get that this is one of the ways that you connect with fans of a certain age. Like, you're playing Fortnite and you're on Twitch doing it and you're talking to people while you're doing it. Blake Snell was in his gamer chair. My advice would be, yes, you should continue to do that, but that shouldn't be the only place where you tell your story. You should tell your story places like The Score, WIP in Philadelphia, Bryce, on the TV, just so you can reach a broader audience from an age demographic. Because the young people are probably going to get it, and they're probably not watching baseball anyway. But I guess it leads to an interesting question of, if you're the players at this point, you know that you're going to be vilified, is there anything to the idea of leaning into being the villain, of being the bad guy? The other thing is, this is part of the discussion, and I thought about this the other day. By the way, thanks for listening. I appreciate it. It might be on us that we are creating a straw man that doesn't exist. It has been my experience as a talk show host here that there is a big group of people that will contact me, whether it's phone calls or text messages or the occasional tweet from folks or Facebook or whatever, that tend to side with the owners. I think that it's possible that media, capital M, makes a big mistake in thinking that Loud is representative. I think this, it can be used in a lot of different scenarios. But we tend to go, oh, well, people are being loud. Well, this person is being boisterous about it. They must represent a larger group of people. And I say that because recently the feedback that I've gotten in this particular case of the owners and the players going after it, I would say, from what I've seen via the text line, a couple of phone calls here and there, and my social media feeds, it's 85-15 for the players. Now, none of this is scientific. This is all anecdotal. But maybe we give too much power to the people who we think are going to make players' lives miserable, usually because the people who stand with them aren't going to speak. Let me hit you with some radio statistics to help back this up. You hear people call The Score. I enjoy when I can interact with people when they call us at 312-644-6767. By the way, that's now the way that you can text this too. We've done research on this. 3% of the audience calls. It's why you hear like the same callers over and over again. A guy that you'll hear call my show today will call Rosenblum on Saturday morning. Some people have made themselves Score famous by being callers. But it's not the majority of people who listen to the station. The same can be said for the folks that hate you or whatever. Plenty of people hate me and hate this show. But the majority of people don't feel compelled to tell me that they love the show. They just listen and they tune in. And I'm using myself as an example, but this is an example that can be used for anyone, with a few exceptions. But that's how it is. The people who are just like, I'm going to tune in every day, that's my guy, they're not going to text here and be like, that's my guy. They're just going to be like, hey, I'm showing my support by listening to the show every day and taking in what you're saying. I think that often creatives, I'll put myself in that category for the sake of this argument, we often will look past the horde of people who love what you produce and fixate on the very small percentage of people that hate what you do and get at you for it. There's also a group of people that don't like you and they don't listen. And I'm cool with that. So maybe we're giving voice to a group of fans whose voice isn't that loud. There, maybe there isn't a big group of fans that are going to side against the players. Maybe we've become, media, capital M, have become so conditioned to believe that there's going to be a backlash against the players that we are giving too much credence to those people who would backlash against the players. By the way, I was not fishing for compliments, but I do appreciate you texting in and saying that I'm your guy. It's very nice. The Text Zone, by the way, is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. I've just realized that the read in here spelled wrong. Algonquin. It's spelled Algonquin. Is that a different place? The one that I have here on this sheet of paper, and notice I did say paper, it says Algonquin, which is where Rosen Hyundai is. To find out for sure, just go to rosenhyundai.com. But I don't think that there's a city named Algonquin. That's all I'm going to say. Herbie, do you understand my point that it's possible that we view this wrong, where we think, oh, the players are going to get killed for this? And maybe there definitely are those people that are going to blame the players. And I think that the owners do play off of that, that that's part of their strategy. But is there room to believe that there is a majority of people that understand the players' point and go, I'm with those guys. I'm just not going to say anything, but I understand where they're coming from.
Common sense would tell you that most people should be in the players' side. And like you said, on my social media, majority has been on the players' side, understanding what they're going through. And it's a very unusual circumstance, because usually when labor strife happens in sports, people usually tend to go to the owner. And I think we've had that conditioned in us, and we've always wondered why. Some people are smartening up. That's good. And I hope this momentum continues, because to get 20% of their money that's owed to you, I don't think anybody would like that. I don't like to have the layperson's job to the athlete's job to be conflated, but I know no one would like that. And yeah, they make millions, but still, they've signed a contract for much more. They should be paid what their prorated contract says.
The people who do feel that way, I often wonder, wouldn't you want that leverage? Wouldn't you want the ability, doing whatever it is that you do, to tell your boss to sit and spend? Wouldn't you love to be in the position of Mike Trout and go, you know, I can decide to not play. And if I decide to not play, the Angels' chances of becoming one of those extra wildcard teams go straight down the toilet. So that's cool. Wouldn't you love to be in that position just once in your life? To look at an offer and go, I'm good. I'm going to go do something else. Think about it that way. If you're someone that is pro-owner, wouldn't you love to be the player with some actual leverage and a reserve of cash that would allow you to withstand something like that? These people who run these baseball businesses don't seem to get it. Personal responsibility. It is a foundation of what our country is built on. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
While baseball is trying to figure itself out, hockey is getting closer to getting back on the ice. I know my guy Charlie Remeliotis is excited about all of this stuff, and he's being put to work by NBC Sports Chicago, getting ready for a season that hopefully will get started in about 6 weeks or so. Charlie was nice enough to join us here on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park. All right, Charlie, were you so excited that you cut your hair once you heard Gary Bettman's announcement?
I did not cut my hair, but I did shave my beard to get ready for the playoffs.
Oh, so now you've gotten rid of the pandemic beard, and now you're going to go full playoff beard.
Well, let me clarify that, Lawrence. I trimmed my beard. I didn't shave.
Okay. All right, well, it's a good look for you, so you should definitely keep rocking it, so that's good. So walk me through what it was like for you as someone who covers the Blackhawks on a daily basis to kind of get the word that the things that you have been reporting and things that have been rumored were actually coming true.
Yeah, it was a crazy process because even from the very beginning when the NHL put its season on pause on March 12th, both sides, the NHL and the NHLPA, were obviously going to have to get creative on how they were going to return. And at the time, we obviously didn't know how long this pandemic and the hiatus was going to last. So it kind of felt a little bit premature. But it's cool to see that over the last 2 weeks, the NHL and NHLPA really ramped up their talks in their return to play format. And we were obviously speculating that it could be 24 teams because it wouldn't be fair to bring back the seven non-playoff teams just to play in, you know, five or six or seven games only to shut it back down again for the year. So I thought this was a really good solution between both sides, and I'm sure both parties aren't particularly happy. Like, obviously you're gonna bug some teams about this format, but I thought it was a fair format in regards to getting the teams that were still mathematically in the hunt back into the race and try to have this fun, I don't want to say March Madness style tournament because there are obviously series is involved, but it brings back everyone on an even playing field if you're the 5-12 seeds in each conference.
Walk me through the difficulty of players physically getting ready to play in this environment.
Yeah, it's a great question because I think the only thing we can draw back to is the 2013 lockout, right? Where the season didn't start until January, so players had to get creative on how they were going to stay in shape. But the difference between this situation and that situation is they were allowed to go play in Europe, and they were allowed to skate, and they were allowed to do these on-ice activities at the time. So players were still staying sharp, and they were just waiting for the green light to come back to the NHL, whereas the challenge the players face this time around is this is literally – it's not even like an off-season, really. It's like – nobody has been skating for close to 80 days now. And some of the European players in Sweden have gotten a chance to skate. And there are some players that have voiced their displeasure that it's giving them some sort of competitive advantage. But it really is going to be up for grabs when we do come back, because it's not like, you know, players are really doing their best to try to stay in shape at home, but none of them have been on skate. So that's really going to be the challenge of getting conditioning back, but also getting their timing back as well.
When you've talked to people about returning, what are the things that the players are the most concerned about?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of health, both COVID-19 related, but also not wanting to, when the NHL does return, it's going to be high intensity games right off the bat. They're not going to have these, you know, I think they are going to have two exhibition games, but it's not like they're going to have a full preseason and slowly get back into the groove of things. Like, it's going to be high intensity right off the bat, and some of these players haven't been able to get proper treatment, and so you hope that they're doing all the right things right now to keep their bodies healthy and so they don't injure themselves when they do come back to play. But also, like I said, the coronavirus too, like, what happens if a player gets it, and what happens if it spreads throughout the locker room? Like, I'm sure some players are divided on this. They would love to come back and play, but obviously there's health concerns too when you do come back.
Charlie Romeliotis of NBC Sports Chicago joining me here on The Score. Give me a progress report. Like, if you were writing a progress report on where the Blackhawks season was when everything went on pause, how would you describe it?
Yeah, it was an inconsistent season. Obviously they had a really slow start, then they picked it up again, and then they backtracked. So there were a lot of losing streaks. There were a couple of winning streaks. And so it was an up and down roller coaster of a year. Last year, they really started to take off from January and on, where they were producing at like an 100-point pace. This year, it wasn't the case. Like, they were close to mathematically eliminated from the playoffs before this NHL pause. was instituted on March 12th. So this is a gift from the hockey gods for them. And, you know, there are some wondering how this would impact their draft status if they do make some sort of run and don't win the Stanley Cup. Now we're, you know, looking at a mid-round draft pick. So you have to weigh the pros and cons. But I'm sure if you're a Blackhawks fan, this is really exciting because it feels like any team has a chance to make some sort of a surprise run. Like you get a hot goaltender, you get a hot player like Patrick Kane or whatever. Like the first and second round of the playoffs might be a 5-game series. And so it's not going to be this grinding 7-game series where it was in years past. Like a shortened series really favors probably a team like Chicago where you could have a hot goaltender and you have championship pedigree.
Just as someone who loves hockey and covers it, what have the last 2 days been like? Because now I'm sure that the bosses have been like, all right, Charlie, bring on the content.
Yeah, I feel like the last 2 days have really been optimistic, right? Like there feels like there's light at the end of the tunnel and we can start breaking down some matchups and get excited about the format. But, you know, I really still think there is a long way to go. Like there are a lot of hurdles to overcome to actually get back to playing. And last week, the NHLPA released a statement saying it was basically a 22-page memo just to transition into phase two, which is voluntary practices with a maximum of 6 players. So, like, imagine what that document is going to look like when we actually do come back to play. And they're trying to figure out the hub cities, too. So there are a lot of major hurdles, but the last 2 days did provide some optimism and gave some fans excitement that there could be some hockey when we come back in the fall.
Were you surprised that Chicago made it onto the list of hub cities?
I was, only because obviously we're in this town, right? And we see all the cases piling up and you don't really think of Chicago as a potential safe destination. But the reason why they are included is because they're really putting the whole package together. You have to have a city or towns that have practice rinks, right? Like obviously the Blackhawks have the United Center, they have Johnny Z's, they have Fifth Third Arena, even the Allstate Arena here in Chicago. So they can handle the rinks, you know, can they handle the hotels? Of course, but the safety is the primary concern and maybe a reason why we're surprised that Chicago is part of it. But I think Vegas is for sure going to be one of the hub cities, and it's really trying to figure out who that second one is going to be.
You know what, Charlie? I forgot all about the Allstate Arena. And that place makes a ton of sense because there's hotels within walking distance to that place. That, yeah, you just blew my mind with that one, my man.
Yeah, you know, well, because I was really trying to logistically put it together. Like, why would Chicago even be considered? You know, it's only United Center. But, yeah, the Allstate Arena obviously is down the street. And I don't know how that would work. Like, I don't know if there would have to be some sort of agreement because they are independently owned and they're not necessarily, obviously, the Blackhawks' affiliate. So it's not like they can work together as a team. But yeah, they have the rinks available to do it.
Charlie, thanks for the time and continued great work over at NBC Sports Chicago.
Thanks, Lawrence. Appreciate it.
That's Charlie Remiliotis of NBC Sports Chicago. You know what? I can make the argument that the Allstate Arena makes more sense than the United Center. He straight up blew my mind with that. Because, like, think about it. Like, the hotels are walking distance. You're, what, 2 minutes from the airport? Fam. And I'm sure that those hotels up there have been hurting. And they love to host a lot of people. Huh. When I saw the city's name on there, I was like, that's crazy. And that's never going to happen. But between what Charlie said and yesterday when we were talking about this, like, it actually makes sense. Huh. Hub City, only in September or around the draft. We're going to talk more baseball. Hannah Kaiser of Yahoo is going to join me next here on The Score. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.